there. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, who 50 years ago greeted the dawn with that music you're hearing, which heralded the start of another day in Henderson County, and another early morning program, which over the years has featured, in addition to myself, the late Tom Edgerton and Charlie Renfro, also the inimitable Chuck Gaines, and now my good friend, at times the irreverent Al Hope. Also, a most unusual man, Mr. Frank L. Fitzsimmons, my lifelong mentor, sat behind these microphones for more than 25 years, doing a series of programs which he called From the Banks of the Ocklawaha, an Indian word meaning mud or muddy creek. These broadcasts became the basis for a three-volume series of books which he liked to refer to as the Trilogy. Most of Mr. Fitz's work covered the very early days of the county and the old-time families who had settled here. Last year, as WHKP's 50th anniversary approached, owner-manager Art Cooley insisted that I should do a daily series similar to that of Mr. Fitz, but emphasizing happenings and people of the past half century. So with the approval of the Fitzsimmons family, this is the first program of a series of 260 to run throughout this year and called simply Where Fitz Left Off. We'll walk down Main Street in a minute. It's hard even for us old-timers to recall Hendersonville as it was 50 years ago when WHKP made its sign-on broadcast from the stage of the Carolina Theater on Main Street. It was October 24th, 1946, and only because the station has operated under local ownership continuously through these past 50 years, we have the very good fortune of not only having pictures taken of that opening broadcast, but, though of poor quality, even a sound clip of part of the ceremonies. In that year, there were 11 grocery stores on Main Street. Down on the corner of First and Main, there was the country store of all time, the H.E. Skin Drake Store. Tomorrow's program will deal entirely with the Skin Drake Store. Across First Avenue was the town's first A&P store. They were not supermarkets back then. They looked like any other grocery store, except they sold only groceries, no hardware, no cloth, no sewing thread, no kerosene lamps, no stovepipe. Just groceries, and the A&P freshly ground 8 o'clock coffee. Just up the street a couple of doors was Carl Brown's OK store and Hayes Market combined. Later, Selden Osteen would run and own the market until he was elected clerk of court, an office in which he served for the remainder of his life. Still another couple of doors on north, up from these three grocery stores, was the Dixie Home Store, which was a chain based in Greenville, South Carolina, and it would be many, many years before the Dixie would merge with the Jacksonville chain and become today's Winn-Dixie Stores. Now, both the A&P and Dixie Stores were called chain stores and were hated and despised by other local grocers and even some farmers who had always sold to local stores and suddenly found, dealing with the chains, they had to deal with produce buyers in some far-off place. But resentment is not a tool of competition, and the chains, with bulk buying and utilizing loss leaders with heavy advertising, grew and became more successful as the years went by. Still in that same block on the corner of Second was the food store. That was five grocery stores almost directly across Main Street from the courthouse. But recalling the farmers would gather at the jockey lot with its constantly running horse watering trough in behind Skin Drake's store, it was the perfect place to head for in town to sell your farm goods and do a little trading. In the next block was Carson Bluebird Ice Cream Company and also New Better Foods. And still in that block between Second and Third was Carolina Fruit Company, which specialized in fresh fruits and vegetables, which in those years the food stores had Lilliputian stocks of produce compared to today's huge supermarket spread. In the middle of the block, next to Gossett Furniture, which is now Kalen's, was Cowan's Grocery. While Cowan's Grocery did very little promotion, one of the Cowan boys went on to become an advertising salesman for the Times News. And speaking of Gossett Furniture, one of our longtime engineers, Orrin Waters, ran a radio repair shop in the basement. On Main Street, between 3rd and 4th Avenues, was McFarland's, which was more of a delicatessen back then than a bake shop as it is today. And then there was Dad Crosdale's Florida Fruit Market next to the Leader Department Store, which would very soon thereafter become Eford's. In addition to only the choicest, select, specimen fruits, Dad also had a limited selection of penny candy, which included penny mints, and if you found one of the pink sitter, you got a nickel mint free. I never found a pink one. In the next block, between 4th and 5th Avenues, wedged in between F.W. Woolworth and O.E. Bass Jewelers, was City Meat Market and Dorn's Grocery. And that was the building which had been occupied till shortly after Pearl Harbor by the Japan Art and Gift Shop, operated by one of the finest men I ever knew, Cantaro Endo, who is buried out at Refuge Church. Back then there was a second bakery, the Quality Bakery, operated by Sam Hottle, in the block between 5th and 6th. And just built was a brand new A&P store, which was the town's first real supermarket. It was on the corner of 6th and Main. And finally on Main Street, there was Ellison's Market and Johnson's Stop and Shop in the building, which is now located Freddie Higgins Quality Press. That's 11 grocery stores, 2 bakeries, 1 a deli, and a fancy fruit market, all operating on Main Street the year WHKP signed on. And in spite of the grandeur and awesome selection of goods you can buy in today's megastores, I do miss that smell of coffee and the fresh white aprons of the folks behind the counters of the old grocery store. But then, you can't have everything. And to be the seventh child of a seventh child, to be born and raised in a town which I've always deeply loved, and to have a job doing exactly what I wanted to do, not for just 50 years, but all my life, as Jesse Helms would end a letter, sursum corda, as we head into the next 50 years.